You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Imagine Dragons. Loom. World Tour. Live in Salt Lake City, Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater, Friday, October 11th. The brand new album, Loom, is available everywhere June 28th. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. For more, visit ImagineDragonsMusic.com.
Radio check. Loud and clear.
KSL Sports and KSL Podcast present Mode Push, an American view of F1, starting now.
And I'm stuck. He's Richie Cut with his Odyssey.
I'm gutted. I'm absolutely gutted.
I enjoyed this so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome in, everybody. It's another edition of Mode Push, an American view of F1, our podcast that we break down F1 here stateside. Anybody listening in, we appreciate you joining the program. Tell a friend, teach a neighbor about F1 and about the podcast, and we're just going to jump in. And just we have so many things to get into because we haven't done this for about 3 weeks now. Dan Jimenez, my co-host as usual, at the other end of all of this. Dan, we got a break, but the reality is we were both like at our actual jobs. And so I don't feel like technically we could work in an F1 team because we didn't touch any cars this entire break. So I feel like we kept all the rules.
Yeah, we did as much work on an F1 car as everybody else over the last month. But I'm excited to be back. It feels like Christmas Eve. Got the 10 race sprint to the end. And lots to be excited about.
Is there a lot to be excited about? Are we supposed to think that something has magically changed over the break that would at least bring, or are we just throwing Max Verstappen's brilliance and amazing racing out the window just so we can enjoy some version of close racing everywhere else 2 through 20?
I think you have to, and it's the only way I can get through the next 10 races is just admire the spectacle of Max, of what is Max Verstappen, right, and then get excited about 2 through 20 and what the implications for kind of getting ready for hopefully what will be a more competitive Drivers' Championship next year.
I love how we're like, next year will be great. Anyway, see you then, everybody. This guy could be breaking every record that's in the books. No problem. See you next year. Hopefully everybody is getting their wind tunnel time and actually making a difference in cutting that down. Those prayers may or may not be answered for F1 fans, but I know that a couple things we're going to be doing today. We could jump into if there were any changes during what they call the silly season normally. The hirings and firings of drivers or the announcement of who's going to be back next year, who's not going to be back next year. And also, Dan has put together a little bit of a money. We do this kind of every year, I feel like. There's kind of a money episode where we talk about how much each one of these drivers are projected to make. And that's always interesting. And you kind of put that against what some of the American athletes are making or what some of the European players who've decided to play in Saudi Arabia are making in soccer, whatever it might be. All of those kind of rolled into one, so we've got a fun episode planned out here for you. But we've got a race, actually, this weekend. They head to the Netherlands. This is the actual home race for Max Verstappen, not Belgium, because there wasn't there like a fake thing there where they're like, oh, well, he's born in Belgium. Or it's like
born in Belgium, like German ancestry,
right.
Self-identifies
right.
as Dutch.
Right, I don't know, and then confusing. Goes, yeah, but it's also the home race. It's also the home race when they're there at the Hungaro or at the at the Red Bull Ring, that's a home race too. And
yeah,
you go, okay,
for them, yeah.
Sure. And then we're in the Netherlands and it's a home race for Max. As if he needs more home field advantage when it comes to his races. I don't know what this track does compared to the others. Kind of give us a breakdown of what Zandvoort stands for in terms of giving us a little bit of a possibility of a fun race.
Yeah. Zandvoort is a cool track. There's a lot of history to Zandvoort. Formula One has raced there for a long time, but then there was a big, like a multi-decade break. And then we started racing there again two seasons ago, I believe. And they did a kind of a pretty big track reconfiguration, including adding some like high banking corners. So I like Zandvoort just because of like my NASCAR roots. There's a couple turns with, you know, some pretty aggressive banking. There's a, in the first sector, there's like a 180 degree turn that's probably somewhere in the 20 degree banking, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're out there on the track, it feels like, you know, vertical. And then the last corner is pretty high banked and they can hit that thing, you know, full open throttle. So I like that from just like the kind of entertainment factor. It's a very, I think, visually appealing race to watch, but unfortunately I think the last 2 years there hasn't been a ton of passing, so hopefully they can mess with the DRS zones or something to spice it up, or maybe, you know, it's a new tire compound that can spice things up a little bit in terms of passing. But yeah, it's a home race for Max, and you know, we're probably most likely going to have to hear the Dutch national anthem twice this weekend at the start and at the end of the race.
I'm looking at track temp, or not track temperatures, just temperatures in general, and I saw something that I kind of like, Dan. Possibility of rain and thunderstorms both Saturday Ooh. And Sunday. So, yeah, there's going to be, apparently, this is the hourly forecast for Sunday, as if an hourly forecast 4 days out is going to matter. But it has rain, thunderstorms, 70% chance of precipitation between 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. for that day. So that could be good. Nice. Qualifying, there's rain through, and then it has partly cloudy at, you know, around 4 o'clock. So you could probably have maybe part of the front end of the race, maybe a couple spin outs or something like that. Again, the weather will be whatever it's going to be. It is relatively cool there, even this time of year. And so it's not like a hot, hot place where tire degradation like ends up being, you know, a huge deal. But it says the whole day on Saturday, the possibility of rain is about 80%. So those are the only things we have, Dan, is just go. You just pray for rain and hope that the grid looks a little bit weird come Sunday morning.
If it does rain, I'm going to keep an eye on McLaren, because at Spa, when we had the little bit of rain right there in the middle of the race, mm-hmm. like Lando really just came to life and started picking up a bunch of time in places. And then as soon as it dried off, he like, you know, slowed down again. So I think they were surprised. And how well they performed when it got wet. So might be another opportunity for them to be competitive if it rains again this week. But overall, Zandvoort is a, you know, high downforce track. Not a lot of, you know, there's the longest straight is the front stretch, and it's relatively, you know, pretty average. And then everything else is really twisty, turny at high speeds. So again, going to, you know, play into Red Bull's advantage at being able to do the high downforce and low drag thing at the same time. But it's also, you know, 3-4 weeks since our last race, and a lot of updates should be coming. And so it's probably a mixed bag on 2nd through 20th on how it all shakes out.
What kind of updates do happen? Like, is it kind of all the way across the board? Do they plan for the first race after the summer to be like for a lot of big upgrades, or is it something that more gets kind of trickled through? And when do upgrades stop coming to races, Dan? Because that's one thing, too, that I go – all right, every race they go, ooh, they got an update this weekend. And I'm always like, well, like, when are you going to stop doing updates and just race or bring out all of the big guns that you supposedly have been testing and you have? Is this one of those races where everybody brings a lot of upgrades to it?
Yeah, you stop bringing upgrades when you run out of budget. And so people are starting to run out of budget in the cost cap for the year.
Yeah, yep.
And so, you know, some teams might have front loaded it with a bunch of R&D at the beginning of the season. But we're nearing the point where we're going to stop seeing upgrades, because now they're going to be turning to next season mm-hmm. mostly in their development. I was reading articles today that like Ferrari is going to spend every FP2 for the rest of the season doing like experimental setups. So FP1, they'll kind of get their race trim figured out. And then FP2, they're just going to like start throwing spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks, which will be interesting. So that's a bit of a transition to like, not kind of giving up on the year, but it's like, we know what we have for this year. So let's start throwing things, you know, at the wall. And in FP2, you might find something that you're not necessarily going to be able to use that weekend or even this season, but it'll educate you for next season. So we're seeing the transition of teams kind of knowing where they're going to land in the Constructors Championships, and you know, upgrades will start to slow down. But this is the last big wave, because it's one you can plan on from the beginning of the season. You know when you're going to have the break, when you're going to be able to manufacture all these parts and roll them out. And hopefully we're getting to the point where Red Bull's limitations on their aero development time from having finished first and their penalty from last year is catching up to them, and everyone else can start to make ground because they can continue to develop in the wind tunnel.
So the silly season does bring us some hirings, firings, things like that. There are, you know, teams that outside of the cockpit of the, you know, the actual racers, and maybe, you know, big names, you know, inside the garage, there are teams that are kind of shifting some things around. But in terms of names being added and subtracted from seats in F1 over the break, or at least what we found out about what that's going to look like, was there anything wild that happened during the break that we can say, oh, that's going to change something for that team this season or maybe for next year?
Yeah, so we have 7 drivers who have contracts expiring at the end of this year. Hamilton, Hülkenberg, Magnussen, Tsunoda, Danny Ric, Joe Guanyu, and Logan Sargeant. And just today, they announced that both the Haas drivers, Hülkenberg and Magnussen, are coming back next year.
Hey.
So two of the 7 taken care of. So
that's kind of a shock, isn't it? The K-Mag, I mean, who's been really underperforming.
I don't feel like he's earned it. Yeah.
No, it's like they like their combo of the two drivers. I certainly, and we talked about this, I think, before the break, too. Feels like Hulk really has outperformed what the expectations would have been, while K-Mag went the other direction this year.
Yeah, I am with you. I am surprised by that. But you could also think, like, I think that there's also a rumor I'd heard that Sauber could potentially be looking at Haas as a place to hang out between the Alfa Romeo and the Audi contracts. So there's a 2-year split where Sauber doesn't really have like a home.
Right.
And so no, I have this backwards. It's Alfa Romeo. Alfa Romeo is looking at Haas. So it'd be Alfa Romeo Haas while Sauber gets ready for Audi. So apologize, correction. So we could have an Alfa Romeo Haas organization here soon, which could be interesting. So maybe there's just so much up in the air that, like, hey, the drivers, they're good enough. That's not the problem. Let's figure out, you know, some other things and get better funding.
Well, and you think about who's available. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, don't you want a guy who's been, and obviously there's probably a level of comfort there with Gunter and K-Mag and Hülkenberg. It was an unlikely pairing at the beginning of the year, but I think overall the team has absolutely outperformed what maybe the thought of what they were going to do this year was. So Haas ends up signing those guys up for another year. Did anybody else get a one-off, or like, do we know anything about Lewis's situation? Cause I know that's one that everybody's looking at.
No, just more kind of rumor that it's, you know, in the talks are happening. It's all in discussion, but nothing concrete yet, which is surprising. Same for Charles. There were rumors that like a deal had already been done. And then he squashed those rumors today in the press conferences that they're not going to talk about it until next year. Now his contract doesn't end until the end of 2024, so he has time. But it's interesting. This has been a quieter August in terms of the silly season movements than prior years. And you feel like, you know, last year Vettel's retirement was the first domino that fell, that kind of threw everything into chaos. And I don't feel like that domino hasn't fallen yet. You know, there's not the Ricardo coming in for DeVries was something, but that was a one for one. But there hasn't really been, until we know that somebody isn't coming back next season, that we just might see a bunch of people kind of holding their cards close to their chest.
As you look at some of the other moves that have been made by some of the teams in the, during the break here, is there anything else that I guess could point to any changes being made? That, you know, I think that the idea of adding a couple more teams, I think that we had talked about how, I can't remember what the cap is, or if the FIA had put it that there is room available for, is it 2 more teams?
Two more teams, 12 cars.
Teams in F1? Okay.
Yeah.
So is there anything outside of the actual grid right now? Did they have any other movement when it came to some of these other teams and the possibility of, because, you know, Cadillac, Andretti was thrown out there, and, you know, I think we have the possibility of other teams floating around there, but any movement on that at all?
Just that we've heard that the FIA has accepted, quote unquote, accepted applications from several teams. which I guess means good job, you did your paperwork. And we still have to figure it out with the teams, with Formula One management themselves, because they have to get the teams to agree to an addition of a team or two. So I think that we're in a bit of a holding pattern, and there's been kind of hints at before the end of the season having an announcement there on teams being added for 2026. So nothing substantial yet, other than we know that the feeling we get is that the FIA is really pushing for it. And then the Formula One teams themselves are holding out what I think is for more money from these teams that are entering to buy in and kind of bigger expansion.
They could also, if we've learned anything from college football realignment, then holding out also for the entire payout for the entire group, from a TV standpoint, maybe you go, hey, look, if we're adding these other teams, if you finish second, you should go up, like, you know, to basically make the spread of how much money they're paying out on a yearly basis. Because if I'm those guys, I don't just try to carve out, you know, some extra money at the beginning that they're going to be able to distribute to some of these teams, but also kind of going forward, like, hey, we got more teams that we're going to be sharing the track with here. We should be increasing some of these payouts on these constructors' titles so that we can get more money as well. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then probably also it's a time where they could put their elbows out on the cost cap as well and go, come on, we got to increase the cost cap even more here. And I know they probably have increments that they go up, but they can probably negotiate, hey, this is something a little bit different. We're adding these two other teams. Let's figure out basically everybody getting paid more and more time in the tunnel, or more time or more money to be able to spend in your cost cap. And if that hard cap gets increased, I think that's better for everybody. I like that the cost cap is across the board for everyone. But just do like the collective bargaining agreements do with all the other major sports here. I'm not sure how it's done in Europe. Just keep increasing it by X amount, X percentage every year, and then you'll be able to kind of look at it and go, oh, we're okay with that, because this year it goes up another $15 million, $18 million, $30 million that we're able to spend on our cap, you know, for the leagues that do have hard caps. So that's probably also – it's all about the money, Dan. I don't know if you knew that about the sports.
It is actually, yes, all about the money. And another piece of evidence of that is news this week is that Formula One has dropped the requirement for the restaurants and bars up and down the strip in Vegas to fork up $1,500 per person.
So that won't be passed. That won't be passed on to you and I when we're trying to sneak on the track.
They're now doing it's only a flat 50 grand now. So it was going to be $1,500 per person.
Oh, wow.
And if you have 100 people, that's 150 grand. Now they're saying, no, just a flat 50K. We'll take care of it. Don't worry about it.
Who negotiated that deal? Man, that's wild. See, and I thought they were just going to be generous and be like, you're right, it's coming to Vegas for the first time, let's be nice to everybody. But they know there's money floating around there somewhere. They're like, these casinos can probably handle it. MGM can probably handle it. What that means is MGM, for all the properties they have, that's probably, you know, how many, I don't know how many properties they have up and down the strip there, but they're going to be paying
big ticket,
half a million to $1 million just to be able to, you know, let people look at their track while they walk by. How dare they, those peasants watching the race without paying their just due. Speaking of money, let's talk about how much these drivers are making in these next new contracts and what numbers look like in the economy of what drivers get paid in F1.
Yeah, it's good to be an F1 driver. Maybe we start from the bottom and work our way up. So at the $1 million a year tier, we have, and this is coming from Racing News 365 on Twitter. So these are estimates. At the $1 million tier, you got Logan and Yuki. Makes sense. I feel like Yuki's maybe getting a bit underpaid there.
Is it his third year?
I think so. He's his third year, and he's on par with Logan Sargeant. I don't know.
That's hard. I think AlphaTauri you're kind of peeking under their skirt a little bit and knowing that they just don't have a lot of dough. You know what I mean? And not that Williams is flush with cash either, but I think that they got an infusion from, you know, some American investors, and I think that they may have been able to be like, hey, look, we can get at least a little bit of a better driver if we pay him $1 million. Because these numbers last year we were talking about were between, you know, 750 and a million. So there were guys that were getting paid, you know, 450 and 750 last year.
Yeah, the floor has come up. I did notice that
good
as well.
For them.
Okay, at the two million tier, you've got Oscar Piastri, rookie, doing pretty well. $2 million. He's making twice as much as Logan. Joe Guan Yu, and then Nick DeVries contract was for $2 million.
I thought you were I thought you weren't gonna talk about he who cannot be named.
Yeah.
But so, hey, you know what? They gotta pay it. I'm sure they had to pay him out. I'm sure they had to cut some version of a check for him.
Something like that. Oh, and we should come when we get to Ricardo, we should talk about that because there's a conspiracy theory floating around about Ricardo, which is interesting. Okay, so DeVries $2 million, Hulkenberg and Lance Stroll. So all those guys are at the $2 million tier.
Ooh.
And I think
baby Lance getting hosed by Papa. That's he's been a bad boy. That's not a good allowance there.
Yeah, gotta up the allowance.
Jeez, dude.
Okay. Just above those guys at $3 million, you have Alex Albon. Feels about fair, man. Yeah. It's Williams. Kevin Magnussen $5 million compared to Nico at $2 million is interesting because Nico's outperformed him.
There was a weird time when K-Mag came in, and I think that this was the result of the desperation that they were in because this is a holdover from that. You remember when they brought K-Mag in, it was like, dude, we don't have anybody, right? Wasn't that the idea? It was like, we don't have someone, and they pulled him basically out of from his family. That was kind of, I think, the way he pitched it, right? Whereas it's like, oh, I'm getting pulled away from my family. Let's figure this thing out here. So I think that – I remember it was five last year as well. So I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Also at $5 million, you have Pierre Gasly and Fernando Alonso only at $5 million. That is so surprising to me.
I wonder if he took a little bit of a pay cut. He pulled an Aaron Rodgers here. Hall of Famer. Graciously going to a green team and waving at everybody, and now suddenly he's kind of nice too. There are a lot of similarities that I'm just now thinking of.
Actually a really good comparison.
And took a pay cut. I mean, Aaron Rodgers.
Does that make Lance Stroll Zach Wilson? Because I guess there's some similarities there.
It could be. Yeah, you know what? Now that I'm thinking about that, that's exactly what happened. And that's why he's being all nice, and it's so weird, and no one is used to this guy. And Zach Wilson is the Lance Stroll in all this. We nailed this, dude. Like,
that's a perfect analogy.
We nailed this. Oh, and he's like, I'm not getting paid very much. And all he's trying to do is copy off of him, and he's giving him tips. Hey, man, that was a nice turn on that third corner. I saw it up on the big screen. Like, this is exactly what's going on. Perfect analogy.
That's great.
And that's why
we unlocked it.
That's why it's quote unquote only $5 million. What a generous soul. Yeah.
$6 million. You have Esteban Ocon. So he's making $1 million more than Gasly.
Okay.
Then George Russell at $8 million and Valtteri, $10 million.
Yeah.
So Joe Guan Yu's $2 million and Valtteri's making $10 million.
Yeah. I mean, part of it is because what are Valtteri's all time wins? In Formula One. I mean, that's it. When you talk about the guy has won, I've already got it for you. He's entered 213 races. He's got 10 Formula One wins and 67 podiums.
Not a lot of guys on the grid with that stat sheet.
You get $1 million per win. There you go. That's what it is for him.
Perfect.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously he's got to get paid more than Joe Guan Yu, but $10 million now, considering what he's kind of done this year, not great.
Yeah. Okay. Also at $10 million, Sergio Perez, and then Carlos signs at $12 million.
Okay,
it's kind of the next tier.
All right.
Now we start getting into the real whales here. So you've got Lando at $20 million, which good for Lando at his age making $20 million.
Is he not worth it?
I think so. I think you're kind of buying an option on Lando. If we can get our car right, then he could run for a championship.
I think you're exactly right. Yeah. If you're going to talk about guys with just pure raw talent, he's going to be in the top four, I think, right, in that discussion. And so he's probably should be paid in the top four.
Yep. $24 million for Charles Leclerc.
Not worth it. Is that wrong? Like, honestly, we should have a moving target here. And Leclerc should be paid less than Lando Norris this year, right? I know Ferrari is Ferrari.
Yep.
Charles Leclerc has been a flop because a lot of his issues have come from his own driving mistakes. And I don't think we can call him the most up-and-coming, talented young driver anymore. That is not him anymore. He's almost getting to the point of old overpaid fuddy-duddy who is just complaining about everything.
Yeah, he's dangerously close to that. Like, the Golden Boy era has passed.
24 million?
I mean, that's 24 million.
That is insane. Carlos Sainz should launch a protest. It's fine. All right.
Honestly, okay. Twice as much as Carlos.
That's fine.
Okay. And then Mr. Seven-time champion Lewis Hamilton, 35 million. Mm-hmm. And topping out the list, Max Verstappen, 55.
Yeah. And he should be 75. I mean,
it's wild. So going back to the Daniel Ricciardo thing.
Yeah, what's he getting paid?
So he's not on this list, right? And so roll back a year. McLaren about this time last year says, you know, we're going to part ways. We're going to buy Daniel out of his contract. At that point, I believe he was making like 35.
Are you kidding? Oh, my gosh. I knew it was. I thought it was just north of maybe it was 20 or 15. I don't know. Yeah, let me look.
We should double check the numbers, but I remember last reading something with a three in the front of it. Okay, so they buy him out of his contract. You know, good luck wherever you land. So then he gets signed not as a racing driver, but as basically a marketing asset for Red Bull as a backup driver.
Right.
And 6 months after, about a year after the termination of his contract, all of a sudden he finds himself in AlphaTauri. Now, the conspiracy theory is that there was a clause in his buyout of his contract that he couldn't just turn around and take another racing gig. And so Red Bull, knowing that, they said, okay, come hang out for 6 months until you get past that date so you can keep your 30 some odd million from McLaren. And as soon as we get past that date, we'll throw you in the AlphaTauri. That's the conspiracy theory.
Huh. So here's what I have numbers wise. The top of his earnings were 2020 when he was at Renault at 32. He took a pretty big pay cut to go to McLaren. Do you remember this?
Okay.
So he got 25 million for 2 years, 10 million year one, 15 year two. So that was that's where he's been kind of headed, I think. But I mean, like, he would be in that top six paid guys, you know, because since 20, he hasn't earned less than 18 million or 14 million since 2019 or since 2018 rather. And even then, man, yeah, these guys have been paid insane amounts of dollars because he got to Red Bull and he was making 500,000 for the first 4 years and then suddenly got to a million. Gosh. And then he was at 6.5 for 2 years. And then he was six in his last year. And then he went Renault 17 and 32. So his top year was 32 million with Renault that 1 year in 2020. So career earnings, $97 million. No problem.
Oh man. Oh, Danny Rick. So we don't know what he's getting paid right now at AlphaTauri, but it's interesting. Interesting timing with how that all ran down. And I could envision some sort of, you need to go on gardening leave. You can't just jump into another F1
seat.
Yeah,
sure. Well, we'll see how it works out with him money wise. I'm interested to see where the money goes after these new contracts come in and new teams come in because, There's just a lot there. There are a lot of things that this sport has already blown up, Dan, and it the salaries actually haven't even caught up, I don't think, yet. Because the best driver in the history of the sport making $35 million this year is pretty low compared to eyeballs on the TV screen on these guys. And Max, like I said, could easily be worth way more than that, that $55 million that he's getting paid. What'd you say Sergio was? Five?
12. Let me pull back up.
I mean, it was...
10.
Okay, 10. Like, the thing is when you're a driver, you know what the differences are?
Well, everybody knows.
Everybody knows what the differences are. You're not giving making. Me preference on the track. It's like, well, no, duh. We pay this guy $45 million more than we pay you. We literally have way more interest in this guy. Like, we are not interested in you compared to him. The team's great.
Yeah. And it's worth reminding everybody that the driver salaries are not included in the cost cap. The cost cap is just fully developing the car. And the driver's more like an outside contractor, and you pay him whatever you want. So there's no upper limit on this, right? To your point, as the sport continues to grow, these contracts will as well. And, you know, you think about like, what is a top tier NFL or NBA player? It's right around there too. But I mean, there's only 20 guys in the sport to spread this around.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I could definitely see these growing here to pretty insane levels.
Okay. Dan, there's some Lewis Hamilton news that you were letting us know. Will he be available to drive this weekend, considering he might be on the lam?
This is Max. Max news.
Oh, sorry, Max. Max. Is Max on the run from authorities in Monaco? Is that what's going on?
He's hiding out. Yeah, he's gained his status in the Netherlands. They can't extradite him to Monaco. So, yeah. The video went around social media, Max driving his Aston Martin Valkyrie. The Aston Martin Valkyrie was designed by Adrian Newey. And it is, this is back in the era when Aston Martin and Red Bull were partnered up.
Yes.
Adrian Newey designed a car that was essentially a Formula One car that was street legal. Mm-hmm. It's insane. It's completely insane. It's got a Formula One engine in it.
So it's basically, what's supercar versus hypercar? Is this hyper? So
I think this is hypercar because it has the hypercar is like when it also has an electric motor to it.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a hybrid power thing. Mm-hmm. And so it's got a full F1 powertrain in it. And there's like 20 of these things, right? Max has one of them.
I'm surprised there's 20, to be honest.
Yeah. So Max there was video going around social media of an Aston Martin Valkyrie driving around Monaco, and a bunch of people are like, oh my gosh, is that Max Verstappen? Then later on, a video gets posted, and it's from the driver, the passenger seat of the Aston Martin. And it's Max's buddy riding shotgun, videoing Max, and Max is driving, and he seems to be going pretty fast through a tunnel. Hard to really get a gauge of how fast he's going. He's got headphones on, which I thought was interesting.
That's also weird.
The more I think about it, it's probably because it's just super loud in that car, and you need ear protection.
Yeah.
And so I think it was just like, oh, it's cool. He's like driving around like he's driving a simulator. Well, then it came out that there's some organization that monitors these like illegal activity posted to YouTube. And they are now saying that they analyzed the video and he was doing 120 kph in a 90 kph zone.
How would they know?
I don't know.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so if that were the case, given where he was and you know, they're crazy about their speeding over there, that they would potentially bring charges against Max for endangering the public safety.
Listen, we have NBA players that only on your second offense of flashing a gun while you're driving is going to get you a 25-game ban.
Oh, my God. We got a John Morant situation.
Did you speed on the road? How dare you? I mean, I got to respect the fact that they are trying to save lives. We have a hard time with it here. Definitely we don't enforce the speeding nearly as much as they do over there in Europe. How much money do you make a year? $55 million? Your speeding ticket is $10 million.
My favorite part of all this news is the name of the institution or whatever that is coming after him is called the General Directorate of the National Gendarmerie.
Yeah.
What? I have no idea what that is, but that is the most European sounding
thing
I've ever heard.
When you have to have a name that long to make yourselves get respect, nobody respects you. Come on. A group that regulates if you're breaking the law on YouTube on speed traps, come on. Let's go. That's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Well, it's certainly going to be a fun weekend. The possibility of rain gets me a little bit excited. But, Dan, more importantly, F1 is back, and it's underway again, and we're back again, and we can keep doing the show. So thanks for hanging out with me this week, man.
Yeah, fun times.
All right. For Dan Jimenez, I'm Alex Keery. We'll be back again for another race week. We'll break everything down on this race from this weekend upcoming, and you'll be able to download that as well. So tell everybody about the Mode Push podcast. For Dan, I'm Alex. See you next time, everybody.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget.
Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.